All right, let me jump into today's opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue. Every single day, I'll remind you guys that it is brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald from the law firm of Wilmer & Lee out of Huntsville. Stan McDonald, sponsor of the Right Side Way, and I will tell you more about him momentarily. So here's the thing. Yesterday, we spent a great deal of time on the show focusing on the status of the U.S. military and the confirmation hearing for Pete Hegseth, Trump's nominee to be Secretary of Defense. And if you miss the show, let me just recap by telling you, Hegseth knocked it out of the park. Generally speaking, that is the consensus. He had the left-wing members of the Senate Armed Services Committee just tongue-tied. As he kept his composure, he evidenced a grasp of the facts about rebuilding a military that can both deter and defeat our enemies. He talked about peace through strength. He heralded the end of wokeness, DEI, and the streamlining of a bloated defense bureaucracy. But most importantly, though, and this is the thing that really got me, Hegseth said that his focus would be on the individual soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that would serve under him. And y'all, it was a breath of fresh air. Those young men and women who serve our nation in uniform, who volunteer to go to hard places and do hard things, they deserve a leadership that has their back. A leadership that takes responsibility and will be accountable for mistakes and give credit to the actual warfighters when it goes well. But as I thought about all this, I couldn't help but reflect in somewhat of a personal way. You see, I've been downrange. I've had times when it felt like no one in the rear knew what you were going through, right? Asinine orders and directives that made someone at headquarters feel good about themselves fell flat when they were sent out to the front lines. As the war in Afghanistan started, I found myself deploying immediately. 9/11 happened. 90 days later, I was headed out to take a team to the far reaches of the Afghan theater where we lived among the Afghan people for nearly a year. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because it fits my narrative for the day. You see, just before I left to mob out of Fort Bragg, I had a visitor, a legendary Green Beret, an awardee of the Medal of Honor. His name was Ola Lee Mize, and he came to see me that day. He walked into my office unannounced. He wanted to see me. Well, when Colonel Mize wants to see you, everything stops, I can just tell you, and you see him. The man had fought in the Korean War and did 3 tours in Vietnam. He was one of the founders of the Special Forces School and the Combat Diver School. And besides the Medal of Honor, Colonel Mize also had the Silver Star, 5 Bronze Stars of Valor, and the Purple Heart. And what got me, though, was how anyone who had ever served under him just revered him. I once attended a special ceremony for him where men came from all over the nation to honor him, men who said they owed him their lives and would follow him anywhere. Well, Colonel Mize, he walked into my office that day in December of 2001, and he sized me up for a minute, and then he shut the door to my office. And he stood there for a few seconds, and he said, "Williams, I hear you're going to the war." I said, "Yes, sir." He nodded and he said, "Where are you going to be?" I told him I didn't have my assignment yet, but I understood I was going to be out on a remote team. And he nodded again. Then he got real serious and he said, "Let me tell you something. Going to come the day you're going to be out there with your men and some blankety blank in the rear is going to tell you what to do and you're going to know it ain't right. You tell him go to hell. You take care of your men." I mean, what do you say to that? I just said, "Yes, sir." And then he shook my hand and he said, "All right, you do good now." He turned around and walked out. The whole meeting lasted about 30 seconds, and I have never forgotten it. And I leaned on that advice several times since then. And that's why I listened so avidly to Pete Hegseth's opening statements yesterday. You see, I'm a 3rd-generation Army officer, my father, my grandfather, and I, but my son is on active duty now. And the fact that the man who wants to lead the Department of Defense spoke so avidly, so passionately about being there for the troops and restoring morale and rebuilding capabilities and removing obstacles and awarding actual merit. I mean, y'all, it was more than just refreshing. It even got a little emotional. I served personally in part under Reagan and I retired under Trump. But I also served under Clinton and Obama. And I want for this current generation, to include my son, to have the best. To have the best weapons, the best choices, the best training, the best leaders, the best experiences. And my hope is that the morale and the leadership will pour over into our society as a whole. By and large, I really do believe that America still loves its troops. We do. I know that. And they deserve it. But leadership from D.C. makes a difference. My sincere hope is that returning a policy of peace through strength will also mean that society will follow suit in a strong way. Like sitting here on my desk in the Right Side studio, I have Ted Nugent's autograph that I got in Baghdad in 2004 when he and the late Toby Keith came over to play for the troops. That was a crazy day with a crazy story, and I might tell you more about it later. But there are still those stars and celebrities who will go where the troops are to bring them some relief and entertainment when they're far from their homes. But how many really do what they can to honor them? I mean, to really honor them. You see, leadership in D.C. can actually ask for them to do that. Leadership that cares about the troops will actually reach out to celebrities and ask them to please go over there and do what you do and tell the young men and women they're important and they're not forgotten. But I don't believe that kind of focus on troops has been there for the past 4 years. No one's been pressing Hollywood to go see soldiers. But y'all, there was a time. There was a time when they lined up to do it. When Bob Hope would spearhead the USO shows and troops knew that when they were over there that America would come to see them and remind them of home. And one of the best at that was John Wayne. When I got back from my first tour in Afghanistan, I was demobbing at Fort Bragg, and on one of those Sunday mornings, I decided I was going to go to church and take a short walk over to what it was known as the Special Warfare Chapel. If you're ever at Fort Bragg, which is currently called Fort Liberty, I encourage you to check out the Swick Chapel. It's a full-size church. The stained glass windows, they depict soldiers kneeling in prayer on the battlefield. But standing in front of the chapel is a granite monument about 5 feet high. And it says on it, "In tribute to the men of the Green Berets, U.S. Army Special Forces, whose valiant exploits will inspire mankind." And in very small script at the bottom of the base, it says, "Presented by John Wayne, July 4th, 1968. I mean, you got to love that. Green Berets, John Wayne, and Jesus all in one place. But John Wayne, he loved troops. The year before that monument was dedicated, Wayne had also released his epic film called The Green Berets, and critics hated it. Roger Ebert said the film was, quote, cruel and dishonest. The New York Times said it was rotten and false. War protests were underway back in the States, but troops were overseas fighting and dying, and John Wayne, he wasn't going to make an anti-war movie. He told a story the troops loved. He told a story that made them proud. It did honor to their sacrifices, but he didn't stop there. Wayne visited the troops in Vietnam multiple times. One of the written accounts of his time with soldiers said, quote, "The soldiers felt this giant hand on their shoulder and a voice saying, 'Hello, soldier, I'm John Wayne. I just want you to know that a hell of a lot of folks back home appreciate what you're doing.'" Said that some of them would break out in tears. Troops would write him letters, thanking him for being one of them. And he would write back and tell them the letters meant more than they could ever know. John Wayne said once, "I cannot sing or dance, but I can certainly talk to the kids." The point was, it was not about him. It was about them. It was about what Pete Hegseth told the nation yesterday. It was about what Colonel Mize said to me. You take care of your men. You make sure that they know that they are more important than anything else, that we know and appreciate the fact that all the gee whiz firepower in the world, all the technology, all the strategy, all the muckety mucks back in the Pentagon, they don't mean anything more than the men or women who put their boots on the ground. So I am hopeful. I am ready to see it. I want it for my son and your sons and daughters and the next generation after that. I want to return to the halcyon days of duty, honor, and country and putting the troops first. And I think we're headed there. And I can't tell you how glad I am. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.